under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion. Jump in at any time right after the brief monologue and have your discussion with us. We'd love to hear from you today. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. You can jump in the dialogue and discussion, put in, some people have called it putting in your 2 cents worth. We'd love to have your 2 cents worth today. We'll be talking about a very serious subject. We're talking about today, after COVID, what? Most of us have recognized the fact that we've been lied to, deceived, and mocked, basically, by this administration, the Biden family cabal, and their Marxist agenda of lying to the public and basically controlling us with simply executive orders. Totally unconstitutional, but that's not the end of the story. As we look at what has taken place in the past 3 years in relationship to the vaccine mandates, the mask mandates, the COVID charade, and the lie to all of us, multitudes today. In fact, I was in a grocery store just last week, walking down one of the aisles, and this gentleman walking down facing me saw me coming, and he had his nose and everything but his eyes covered with a huge mask. And he turned his face and almost knocked canned goods off the shelf, trying to avoid passing me in the aisle with my shopping cart because I didn't have on a mask. And a lot of people do that today, thinking that somehow, some way, they're protecting themselves. Is that real? Is it harmful? Is it dangerous? We're going to be talking about that and a number of other issues dealing with COVID. COVID is on the fast track for coming back, with the lies and the deception and the attempt to force citizens to submit and surrender to governmental authority, which is totally unconstitutional. As we face the issues, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. God created three institutions. He created the home, he created government, and he created the family and the church, and he did so in that order. As you look at the scripture from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, there's no such thing as political matters, no such thing as secular, social, or theological and doctrinal matters. They're all one big picture in the Word of God. That's the reason God gives us His Word. If we look at the events on a local level, a national level, and a global level, if we look at those events through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, it'll give us a totally different perspective as to what is taking place. What we see happening in America today, I'm not talking about just in the Beltway of Washington, I'm not talking about just in the Oval Office, I'm talking about just with the treason that the Biden family cabal has committed, but I'm talking about in general, everything, look at it through the prism of the Word of God. We understand a little better what is taking place. Jesus said, as he's speaking to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made, thy word is truth. So I commend it to you. Psalms 117:2, the scripture says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. So I recommend truth. It was the secularist George Orwell in his dystopian novel of 1984, dystopian novel dated, published about 1947, 48, and 49. Title of the book was 1984. In that book, George Orwell made a statement. He said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that being very, very true, if I can use that spin on the term, very, very true today. Those that disagree with truth generally will be very outspoken. We find that taking place in the House and the Senate. We find that taking place with many of those that claim to be conservatives, but are rhinos today, trying to tell us one thing and behind the scenes doing another. I am, sir. That's another story, but I'm so disappointed with what we see taking place with those that are supposed to be representing us, but they're representing the drain, the sewer in D.C., and not representing we the people. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made a statement that stuck with me for so many years now. Jim DeMint said, the title of the article, DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. And in part, this is what Jim DeMint said. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in many of our Christian churches. Ladies and gentlemen, we find with the millennial age group, 18 to 35-year-old age group, according to the latest survey, 55% of that age group simply do not recognize the truth factor. In fact, they say, quote, each person determines their own version of truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, made a very powerful statement. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, tell the truth, love the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And as he was being burned at the stake, he yelled out, truth shall prevail. And that's what I want us to understand each and every day on this broadcast. We need to stand for truth. And that's what we'll be doing each and every day, especially today when we're talking about an issue that is very, very pertinent at this very moment in the lives of each of us as we are faced once again with the possibility of lockdowns, COVID mandates, mask mandates, COVID jab mandates, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of brands like homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier, 165-foot flagpole, U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Based on that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a family-friendly, oriented place to work. It is closed on Sunday. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, take one more moment with the little brief addition to the monologue, and then we'll take our first callers. But we're talking about today, after COVID, what? I believe it should be a frightening phenomenon to recognize that we're back on the fast track of doing what we saw in the past 3 years. I'm looking at a headline, Hospital System Imposes COVID Vaccine Mandate for All Healthcare Workers. It's an organization that's operating in 7 states. They have 120,000 employees, and the 120,000 employees with 1,000 clinics, 50 hospitals, and they're making the mandate. It's Providence Hospital System, operating in Alaska, California, Montana, Oregon, Texas, Washington, and Wyoming, says employees or caregivers have been given a deadline of November the 30th to provide proof of vaccination. If they do not do so, they're subject to termination. This article further states, employees who choose not to get vaccinated, whatever the reason, be it medical, religious, or personal, can find themselves without a job, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I see the handwriting on the wall. Joe Biden's already talking about the need for everybody to get vaccinated. We're finding the hospitals, the medical associations, about to jump on the bandwagon with the deception that was carried out by Sir Anthony Fauci and the Biden administration for almost 3 years. And we think that we have freedom, medical freedom, and that we ought to have. But in so many states today, as you already know, we have about 26, 27, 28 states that have the total immunity laws, where if a doctor kills you, you have your family has no redress because the immunity law is preventing it. I am going to be talking about that today. We have some folks with us on the set today. We'll be talking about after COVID, what can we do? How can we respond? What should our response be? What is the hope for us as American citizens? Should we simply bow and bend? Let me just say this at this point. My mind goes to Daniel, the third chapter, not but 31 verses in that chapter. And the three young Hebrew lads refused to bow when they were demanded to do so by the king of that era. They were supposed to bow to a false image, and when the music played, they were ordered to do so. These three young men refused to do so. They were called into the king's office, if you will, and chided and given a second opportunity. They didn't bow to begin with. When threatened, they didn't bend. When they were thrown in the fiery furnace, they didn't burn. And may I say to you, that ought to be the mantra and the attitude that we take as Christians today, as conservatives, as patriots, that we're not going to bow, we're not going to bend, and we're going to win in the end if we take that stand. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
How you doing this morning, Dr. Youngblood?
Doing well. I pray that you are.
Doing good. Truth and fear, my thoughts and prayers go to the individuals that actually still, they have the same ability to look up the same information that's publicly available to everyone if they sit down. Multiple mass studies that show that they're not ineffective. You're not going to get a seal. You know, straining gnats through fences just doesn't work. So the only thing that's keeping them from learning the truth is their own fear, and that keeps them compliant with the monovalent new form of the vaccine and the masking and every other requirement that's based on deception that's being put forth by the government. The Democrats have already proved that they will use anything they possibly can and distort it to benefit their end. For example, the 2020 election was a perfect example of that, where they used that election to get across ballots that should not have ever been presented. Mail-in ballots to individuals that have multiple addresses and so on. And it's people need to wake up. They need to see it for what it is.
Absolutely. Yeah, Jim, I'm in agreement with that. We have today on the set, I'm going to take a moment to introduce our guest today and then allow you to ask a question and let them respond to it. I've got Brian Kennedy with me. He's part of the group, the Florida Freedom Keepers, Citizens Defending Freedom. Brian, you heard what Jim said. How do you respond to what his statements are and his position on that?
He's definitely right over the target. Spreading awareness, from your perspective, is one of the best tools that we can do right now. Our organization, the Florida Freedom Keepers, we're a statewide medical freedom organization, and one of our most powerful tools is giving awareness to unite and empower the medical freedom community, because as much as we feel that everybody knows what we know, they don't. Mm-hmm. We've been put in a box. We've been censored, we've been shamed, we've been indoctrinated. And the more that we can sound the alarm, the more people can wake up. And I think that's going to be a pivotal part of this war against evil, and that's raising awareness.
Yes, Jim, do you have any questions for Brian in reference to what he said and your position on that? What are your thoughts? Do you believe we're about to go into another mask mandate, lockdown potential, and forced vaccination? What are your thoughts on that, Jim?
I do believe that they are going to attempt it. I do believe your guest is correct whenever he says the information that we need to get it out. But at the same time, that prevalence of fear that allows individuals to continue to follow these mandates instead of using common sense it's hard to admit when you're wrong. And fear, you know, is a very powerful thing, and the government has institutionalized that to, or the Democrats especially have institutionalized that to advance their agenda. I would hope that a lot of people learned from this last episode there and that they won't comply. I know personally myself, I will not comply. I didn't comply the first time. Why should I do it now?
May your tribe increase.
Yeah. Let's hope that everybody digs their heels in on this one.
Jim, I'm looking at a headline I think relevant to what we're talking about. It says, "Plandemics are impossible without fear. The alternative media is doing their very best to keep the culture of fear going with fake virus propaganda." And it's just a one-page article, but it talks about what is taking place with the pumping up the fear factor in the minds and the hearts of people, causing them to bow and to bend. It's an amazing thing to me, Jim, and I'm sure you've seen it in reality, the things that people will do because they're afraid. Fear will cause people to do a lot of things. Fear will cause people to bend and to bow to things that they have questions about, but they're afraid of the retaliation if they do not follow through with it. It is a mass hysteria that is taking place when that happens. There's a term for it that a physician out of Yale University used, a physician, a virologist, just a couple of years ago. He talks about mass psychosis that sets in when a person is afraid of something. They see somebody else wearing the mask. We've got to wear a mask. It must be usable. And at the same time, on the one of the websites, just I think it was 2.5, almost 3 years ago, the website stated that wearing a mask is like putting a chain link fence to keep the gnats out. And yet people still think that somehow, some way, a mask is going to be helpful. Jim, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
Looking forward to what God is going to do as we keep looking up and looking to Him. Thank you so much. Brian, as we continue our thought about the work that you're doing, how do you think, and you heard my statement, the article that I'm looking at, talking about the plandemics, do you think this is something that's a planned event that is before us, or do you think we have the real possibility of major pandemic in the future? What are your thoughts on that, and how do you think we need to respond as citizens?
Well, I think both of those things are true.
Mm-hmm.
I think that not only is there a possibility of being an actual pandemic, but the reaction to that pandemic is where the attention should be. We as individuals, we have the ability to protect ourselves, protect our health, protect our family. Our biggest obstacle during the first pandemic was the government.
Mm-hmm.
The virus never shut down a business. The virus never told me to put on a mask. The virus never put my son out of school. The virus never incentivized school boards with hundreds of millions of dollars to force draconian rules upon students and administration. So that is where the focus should always be. We are free people, whether we're in the United States or across the world. We are sovereign. We are from an almighty creator who gave us our rights, and paying attention to a reaction from a government or municipality or a corporation that wants to infringe on those sovereign rights is where the focus should always be.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. We're talking about after COVID, what? After COVID, what? How should we respond? What should we do? We're talking with Brian Kennedy today. He is part of the Florida Freedom Keepers, Citizens Defending Freedom, and we're talking about after COVID, what? Thank you so much again, Brian, for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Tell our listeners something about your organization, what it's about, what it does, and what you're hoping to do.
Yes, sir. The Florida Freedom Keepers is a statewide medical freedom organization. We are 100% grassroots. Our goal is to grow the medical freedom movement by empowering, educating, and uniting a strong advocacy community to be able to stand up, to know your constitutional rights, to be able to either stand alone or stand strong with a huge community of medical freedom warriors. We've been in this fight for long before COVID came along, and COVID was a great revelation for a lot of people who may or may not have been on the fence when it came to medical freedom. Like most things, we don't react until it affects us individually and specifically, and COVID was that great revelation for a lot of people. So again, we're a grassroots organization. We're nonpartisan. Not only are we do we operate to expose tyranny, but also to help those who have been vaccine injured, and to build a community, not only for adults, but families, for anybody who believes that you have sovereign right over your body and you have the right to make your own medical choices, and no one has the right, whether it's a government or municipality or corporation, to intercept that right.
Absolutely. Brian, when you say that, my thoughts go to the medical agenda of the CDC and their protocol of remdesivir. Most of our listeners perhaps do not even know remdesivir has 1,297 side effects. 1,297. The first major four, it destroys the lungs, the liver, the kidneys, and the heart. And yet that's the recommended CDC recommendation for a physician if a person is tested and claimed to have COVID. And in fact, it goes back to the testing, the PCR testing. Dr. Cole said he never designed that to be a test for COVID. And you could put it in, I call it the spinner. There's a term for it, medical term. And if you have more than 40 revolutions, you're going to have a positive test every time. And yet we had millions that were claimed to have COVID. In fact, it's the only vaccine that's killed as many people as it has, and yet still being pushed on the market today. It's not really a vaccine. It's a death jab, as I've called it. And I have recommended for quite some time now, for at least 3 years on this broadcast, that a person not take the vaccine, not put the mask on, not bow, not bend to the demands of the federal government and Dr. Fauci, or Sir Anthony Fauci, as I like to call him. Brian, you are doing a bus tour. And for our listeners, they might think, what is a bus tour? What are you talking about? Tell us about the bus tour and exactly what that event is about.
Absolutely. Our organization is working with another medical freedom advocacy organization, Children's Health Defense. And right now they're doing a nationwide bus tour. And the purpose of this goal is to visit major cities and hear the stories of people who have been affected by medical tyranny, whether it's prior to COVID or during COVID, and it's related to vaccine injuries or hospital protocols. Did you lose your business? Did you lose your job? That awareness, bringing truth to the public who may have never heard the words vaccine injured before, they can hear it. Hear individual stories of people who are truly affected. And right now there's a tour in 60 major cities. And we're sharing the truth, individual stories of people who have been affected by medical tyranny.
Very good. Well, I'm looking forward to it. In fact, let's just take a step further with the bus tour. You say going to 60 cities. Jacksonville will be one of those cities in November.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about that for Jacksonville, the date, the time, the place. We'll get into further details in again during the course of the broadcast today. Tell us about the bus tour that will be here in Jacksonville, the date, the time, and the place.
Yes, sir. November 14th, the bus will be in Jacksonville. We will have speakers not only from Jacksonville, but from the surrounding areas who have chosen Jacksonville to be their landing space to tell their story. And those stories are going to include people who have specifically been vaccine injured by the COVID-19 vaccine, people who have lost their business because of either a decline in sales or being forced out of business at the initial stages of the pandemic. So this will be a great time to come to an event, be around people who are nonpartisan, who truly stand on constitutional values of individual freedoms and are willing to not stand for what happened for three consistent years again and draw a line in the sand.
Absolutely. Brian, I think it would be beneficial if we talk about the specifics of that for just a moment. Then we'll go further with some of the other questions and comments about the dangers with COVID. But ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Perhaps you have questions you'd like to ask Brian in relationship to medical freedom and what we're talking about with the agency, the organization, Florida Freedom Keepers, Citizens Defending Freedom, the questions that you may have for him. But our bus tour is going to take place here in Jacksonville. It'll be on our campus, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, First Conservative Baptist Church. That's 12021, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, November the 14th, I believe it is.
Yes, sir.
9 o'clock till 5 o'clock all day. So that gives you an opportunity to drop in. I've already shared with several of the folks in our church the date, time, and the place. We've got several of our family members in the church that have lost loved ones as a result of maltreatment in the hospital with the CDC protocol, which is a death protocol, in my most humble opinion. And they're planning on coming to tell their story. Brian, let's just play pretend a moment. The bus is on the parking lot. The doors are open. Someone drives up. What do they do? How do they get in? What do they say? What's the setting?
Well, the first thing we would ask is that you visit childrenshealthdefense.org and sign up to be interviewed. It'll just be information collection of what's your name, what's your story. Because it's 60 cities, we have a a centralized location that is getting the information, and it could be dispersed to the different cities. So visit childrenshealthdefense.org/contact, and we will contact you. We'll reach out to you. Unfortunately, we live in a time of pure evil, and people would love to sabotage an event like this. Mm-hmm. So there is a slight vetting process.
Yes.
And we want to make sure that everybody's organized and they have the ample amount of time to be able to tell their story.
Well, if you have somebody standing at each end of the bus with an AR-15, I think that'd give a little protection. Since I'm a Second Amendment rights person, I believe that would be honoring God. So
absolutely. I'm not against that at all.
Amen. Brian, we've got about a minute and a half before our time is up for this first half of the broadcast today. Before we have our news break, we're going to continue the broadcast after the news break. But do you believe that COVID vaccine, this is a very, very pointed question, do you believe that COVID vaccine harms people, and if so, how? Many people that are listening today may not realize what's in a COVID vaccine. It's not really a vaccine. Speak to that. It's not really a vaccine. What is it? What's the danger of it? And why should we be concerned about it?
The COVID-19 vaccine is nothing of a vaccine. It is a gene therapy. Literally, in order to fit the definition of vaccine, the definition had to be changed. Mm-hmm. This mRNA technology is a dangerous technology, and it is quantifiable in many ways. There are Senate testimonies. There is whistleblowers. There is CDC documentation. There is Pfizer and Moderna documentation that prove this vaccine was never safe. It never was effective. They knew it was going to harm people. And now the numbers and the casualties are continuously adding up.
So, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break for about a minute. Right after the news break, we'll be right back to continue our discussion today with Brian Kennedy. And we're talking about what we would call medical freedom. It's the Florida Freedom Keepers, Citizens Defending Freedom. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion right after the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. The situation on the southern border seems to be going from bad to worse. Shelters are already filled to overflowing, and the flood of illegal immigrants is picking up once again. Ukrainian President Zelensky addresses the UN Security Council today. In his speech to the General Assembly yesterday, he accused Russia of weaponizing everything as it tries to subdue his country. In his speech to the General Assembly, there was not a mention from President Biden of the migrant crisis that's exploding under his watch. One of the biggest fights over abortion this year is in the state of Virginia. Still no deal in the Republican-led House on a stopgap spending bill aimed at keeping the government fully open beyond the end of the month. And the Fed today will be announcing its decision on interest rates. Watching Wall Street, the Dow up 167 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University has been training God's servants since 1982. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for your interview today. Please leave your contact info for the admission staff to reach out to you. Courses can be taken on campus, online, or distant personalized education. Partial scholarships are available. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info today for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Perhaps you've had questions about COVID vaccination, as they call it, COVID mask mandate. Perhaps you've had to switch doctors or places of business where you shop because the mask mandates in the past under our former governor, former mayor, Lenny Curry, have a lot of negative thoughts in relationship to that. He kept renewing the mask mandate for 180 days in Jacksonville, and it was very, very harmful, I believe, to our city. I'm thankful that we have some laws now in the state of Florida that will not allow the mask mandate as we had in the past, but we have some other things that I believe would be worthy of our talking about. We're talking today with Brian Kennedy. Brian Kennedy is with the Florida Freedom Keepers, Citizens Defending Freedom. That's a pretty long name to remember.
It's actually two different separate organizations. Yeah.
Freedom Keepers. Yeah, that's what we're talking about today. And we're talking about the mask mandates, the COVID vaccine, and what we saw in the past 3 years and what we may be looking at in the near future. There's some legislation that Brian is going to talk about in just a moment. Senate Bill 222 morphed into Senate Bill 252. Brian, take some time and tell us about Senate Bill 222, what it was supposed to do, and how it morphed into Senate Bill 252 and what that does to strip citizens of our medical freedom in the state of Florida.
Yes, sir. SB 222 was a bill that was authored and sponsored in 2022, coming into this previous session, the 2023 session. It was a phenomenal medical freedom bill. It was authored by Health Freedom Florida and sponsored by Representative Barnaby in the House of Representatives. What this bill did was it gave all Floridians true medical freedom. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was a monumental historical bill that was presented to the Florida legislature. There was a lot of fanfare, a lot of support. As a matter of fact, we had a few thousand people in Tallahassee the first day of the 2023 regular session to support the bill and make sure that it took the correct route through committee and to the floor for a vote and ideally to land on the governor's desk. Well, in the 11th hour, there was a bill titled SB 252 that slid in, and it literally, from a layman's perspective, it was a watered-down, plagiarized version of 222. And what it did was it didn't give Floridians medical freedom. It was very specific to COVID-19, and as we all know, even though we're about to crank it up again, being specific to COVID-19 doesn't give somebody protection against mandated vaccines of other sorts or hospital protocols of other sorts. So that was the biggest red flag. But also there was protections and provisions in there for hospitals and pharmacies, which just totally snubbed the concept of medical freedom. And we were very much ashamed of what happened, because it seemed like it was a very targeted attack on the bill that we were supporting wholeheartedly and truly Floridians needed.
Who were some of the movers and shakers, as far as the House and the Senate leaders, that pushed the new SB 252?
The sponsor of the bill was Colleen Burton. Mm-hmm. And we literally have seen video of her assistant being asked, where did this bill come from in the 11th hour? And that assistant saying very specifically, this bill came from the governor's office. Mm-hmm. So being a Floridian and proud of all the work that Governor DeSantis has done, everybody was kind of blown away.
Yes.
Now, don't get me wrong. We hold all representatives accountable. We are nonpartisan. We don't have skin in the game. It is our duty as citizens to hold all representatives accountable. Mm-hmm. But up until that point, DeSantis had done a lot of great things for a lot of different reasons. And to see that our bill was totally shredded and replaced with something that did not work for the benefit of Floridians in total, and leaned more towards protections of hospitals and pharmacies, was a huge slap in the face.
Would you say that the possibility then would be outside possibility or inside possibility that the governor pushed for that because of the medical lobbyist, hospital lobbyist in the state of Florida?
I'd say that's fair to say.
That was the same thing that took place, Brian, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. The state of Florida is one of the, I believe, about 26-plus states that has the total immunity law that if a doctor or hospital medical association enters you in the hospital as a patient under COVID, on the guise of it being COVID, they follow the CDC protocol, and with the FDA and the CDC protocol, the physicians are being paid. In fact, you may or may not be aware of this, but for our listeners, the in fact, as it stands now, if you go to a doctor, the doctor suggests, if he makes the suggestion for you to get a COVID shot, he gets a $50 reward from the federal government. If you say yes to the injection, he gets another $50. So it's $100 each pop for the doctors, physicians, as of this moment, if they recommend a COVID shot and you take it. During the height of COVID, Brian, doctors and hospitals were coming off like bandits. The Ascension Hospital Group, which is the largest hospital group in America, during 2021-2022, they had a 573% increase in profit. 573%. The net amount was $1.9 billion net profit. And yet the governor insisted, and the Speaker of the House insisted that the House of Representatives in Tallahassee and that the senators in Tallahassee vote for the immunity bill, which puts it in a position that you could go in the hospital, a friend, neighbor, relative, go in the hospital. If it is rated as COVID, the physicians have total authority, and they can kill the patient and never have any recourse, redress, or never any opportunity for the patient or the patient's family to go back against them legally. There have been cases in Texas, cases in Delaware, cases in D.C., et cetera, that I'm familiar with, that they could not get in the courthouse door because of the immunity laws that are in effect. So I'm looking at a headline. It says Florida's forced quarantine and forced vaccination law. Explain that to us based on what you just said with Senate Bill 252. How is this headline legitimate, and what does it mean from your standpoint, Brian?
So what this is talking about is Florida Statute 381.00315. And this is an issue that the entire medical freedom community has been on our radar since 2020, when the pandemic came about. This specific law that is on the Florida books, we started sounding the alarm, not only the Florida Freedom Keepers, but hundreds of thousands of medical freedom warriors across the state said, hey, listen, we can see what's coming down the pipeline with this whole COVID issue, and we're not going to be forced vaccinated. We did a good enough job to shake the cage of the governor at that point to call a special session. And what happened in that special session of 2021 was they struck the word forced vaccination from this bill. What was left in common political theater is they took something away, but they left a bunch of stuff. And what they left was forced quarantine, forced testing, forced isolation. And that is still a huge issue. It is unconstitutional. There is Supreme Court case law that goes back to the 1800s, mm-hmm. Showing that a government, specifically an unelected official of the state health officer, does not have the authority to enforce any type of medical intervention on the citizenry. So 222, definitely put this into the bill to make sure that this was going to be amended. These issues, it's a public health clause in 381.00315, and it said that the state health officer can use any means necessary to force quarantine, force isolate, force treat. And as we talked about earlier, this quote-unquote vaccine does not even fit in the terms of a vaccine.
That's right.
It is gene therapy. Mm-hmm. So look at the word treatment, forced treatment. Now, there is law on the book in Florida that says a doctor, at the behest of the state health officer, can force treat you. And that could include a vaccine. Mm-hmm. That could include whatever they deem to be necessary for the next public emergency.
And Brian, as I understand it, in reading through Senate Bill 252, and I'm not that sharp on it, I've read it twice, but understand that the decision to be made in the state of Florida by the health official would be following the protocol of what is stated by the World Health Organization. So am I understanding it right? And ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes through the studio, right to our studio mics, so that we can entertain your question, comments, dialogue, and discussion. But Brian, as I understand it, the health protocol from the World Health Organization, the World Health Organization has already made the decision that even with climate change, as they call it, could be called a health emergency. So it is my most humble opinion that we're looking at the future tense where a health emergency will be called based on the climate change, and they would utilize that to do the lockdowns, to do the protocol that's called for now in the Senate Bill 252. So let me ask a question, Brian. What is the answer? What can citizens do to ensure our medical freedom?
First and foremost, do not comply. Noncompliance is deeply entrenched in American history, and noncompliance has proven to be one of the greatest tools that Americans have always used to make sure that change is enacted. And not complying with any draconian rules, regulations, mandates is paramount. We do have tools at our disposal to make sure that there is accountability. Mm-hmm. And I think people becoming informed on ways to hold criminals accountable is imperative. We do have the Florida Department of Health has complaints. If a pharmacy is not treating you correctly, they're working in opposition to your freedom. There are business regulations. There's the state attorney. These are the ways that we continually have to fight back. We are peaceful people. We're nonviolent. And there are means and ways to hold these people accountable. Finding that information is imperative on all citizens, paying attention, being vigilant, staying active, raising awareness are all things that we can be doing right now without firing a shot.
Absolutely. Brian, there's something called informed consent.
Yes, sir.
Speak to that for a moment for our listeners. What does informed consent mean? If you're in the hospital, if you're in the doctor's office, you're put into a medical association facility, and the nurse walks in with a little handful of pills. Do you have the right to say, what are those? What will it do? How will it affect me? If they walk in and want to give a shot, do you have the right to ask the question? What if you do that and then you refuse treatment? I believe we need to speak to the issue of informed consent for a moment for our listeners to understand what that means and the rights and authorities that we have individually.
Yes, sir. Informed consent is something that has been discussed since the infancy of our nation. This is addressed in the Fourth Amendment. We all have the right to security in our person, our papers and our effects. That includes your body. It also rolls into the 14th Amendment, the right to protect yourself. Informed consent is the concept of knowing the benefits and the downfalls of anything. It doesn't have to just be medically related, but it is something that is mandated constitutionally and through Supreme Court case law that anybody that is offering a medical intervention, the patient must know the benefits and the downfalls to anything that they're going to receive.
Informed consent is vital, I believe, Brian, in the medical field that we see today, and the fact that they're administering medications that's harmful. I know with the experience we had with our son that they tortured to death after 71 days in a hospital in Virginia. On the second day in the hospital, they put him on remdesivir. When they told him that, asked the nurse, said, well, is that the same thing they gave President Trump? And she told him, yes, it was Regeneron that Trump had, and he was being given remdesivir. So it was a lie, number one. And secondly, anytime a person gets a vaccination, the so-called vaccination COVID, they're not read that list of hundreds of side effects and told this is what could happen to you. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, we have millions of people today that are sterilized, that are handicapped, that will be under the care of a physician for the rest of their lives, and several hundred thousand have died as a result of the COVID death jab. So I'm very, very, very concerned about where we're going in America and where we're going in particular in the state of Florida with, and again, Brian said just a moment ago, I'm delighted to have our governor in the state of Florida. If we look at what could be the possibilities, if he were not in office, it would be horrifying. But at the same time, we need to hold him accountable for what is taking place, especially with our medical freedom and what we need to have as freedom as citizens in America. I believe, Brian, we must fight back this demonically inspired push to vaccinate. I have an article here talking about ivermectin, for example. FDA refuses to change anti-ivermectin statements after court ruling. Now, for the benefit of our listeners, I'm going to read just a paragraph or two of this article. Anti-ivermectin statements made by the FDA are not being changed, even after an appeals court ruled that the agency could not do so legally. U.S. Food and Drug Administration is refusing to change its statement against ivermectin, even after the court said it acted outside of its authority when it told the people it must stop using that to treat COVID. U.S. Appeals Court said that the FDA statement, including one telling people to stop using ivermectin as a COVID-19 treatment, went beyond the authority conferred on the agency by Congress. And even though they have told them that, that was the ruling in the appeals court, FDA now is still refusing to change its protocol to allow patients to use ivermectin as a prophylactic or for a healing, curing factor for COVID. And yet COVID has been around for some 50 years. In some countries, it's running about 5 cents a pill. And I am very familiar because recently my physician had written a prescription for me to use ivermectin. I went to Publix to get it filled, and they almost chased me out of the store about because I wanted to get it, the prescription filled for ivermectin. That is a danger that we're faced with, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I need us to understand today, that we need to have our freedom taken back from the standpoint of what we say and what we do, what we allow to take place with our bodies. I believe Miranda's on the phone. Go over the question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. Yes, I want to make two brief comments. I am the mother of a child with autism, my son Benjamin. My son was damaged by vaccines, and there's a lot of research that goes into my belief on this. Because of the number of vaccinations that children were receiving, there was too many for a young immune system to handle, and autism is, we went from having 1 in 10,000 cases of children with autism to 1 in, last time I noticed, it was 1 in 56 children. And so we were very cautious about this new vaccine coming out for the COVID because of our experience with my son and vaccinations and bringing on his symptoms of autism. There was a doctor in England. His name was Dr. Andrew Wakefield. I do not know if you've ever heard of him, but he was basically ostracized and basically just put out of his medical degree because of his wanting to listen to the parents of children who had developed autism and wanting to research their belief that the vaccinations had something to do with their child's development of autism. My second comment is ivermectin. I've always used ivermectin for worming dogs. I was a dog breeder for a while. Okay, and it's a very cheap and effective method. It gets rid of all worms, intestinal, heart, and everything else. You could not buy ivermectin during COVID out of one of the hardware stores where I used to buy it for animals. You could not find it. They had it under lock and key. Mm-hmm. If they had any, they were not selling it to you. And so those are two of my comments. So I'll let you go. You have a very interesting guest on.
Miranda, do you have a question in particular that you could ask for Brian or for Susan Callahan? Susan is here with us also. Susan, you're a nurse. You have a nurse background. Speak to the issue that Miranda just spoke of, and how would you respond to that in your statements?
Well, thank you so much for having us today, Dr. Youngblood. She was absolutely right about Dr. Wakefield. In fact, that's what this whole tour bus, how it started 7 years ago when the movie Vaxxed came out. And Polly Tommy was one of the mothers that whose son was affected by the vaccines when he was little. Mm-hmm. He became autistic. And that's what the story of the Vaxxed movie is about. Is Polly Tommy, her son, Dr. Wakefield, Andrew Wakefield over in the UK. And they all came over here to the United States because of what happened over in the UK. And Brian Hooker, who is a professor, had been in contact with Dr. William Thompson, who was a scientist with the CDC. And unbeknownst to Dr. Thompson, because Brian Hooker was actually able to record their conversation legally, and Dr. Thompson told him that the CDC kept getting all these calls, all these emails, these vaccine or the childhood vaccines are causing autism in our children, and they kept saying, no, they didn't. We're going to prove them wrong. So they did their own study. And this is what Dr. William Thompson, he's become a whistleblower. And what they did was, Julie Gerberding, who was the head of the CDC at the time, told all these scientists, put together all this information, and nothing they could do could change the fact that if a black male gets the MMR, which is the measles, mumps, and rubella shot, if they get it on time, they have a 360% increase in becoming autistic. Mm-hmm. They could not change that. Statistically, they couldn't change it. So she called everybody into the office, bring all your paperwork, we're burning it. Well, what ended up happening was Dr. Thompson kept the information, and Julie Gerberding came out and said, see, we proved that the vaccines did not cause autism. They ended up taking Julie Gerberding from the CDC and made her the head of the vaccine division for Merck. Mm-hmm. Because she was able to hide that data. That's what this vaccine, this whole movement is about, is getting the word out to people. Polly Tommy actually had an RV back when we had the Vax movie, and people would come and do interviews, and they signed their name on the bus, people mm-hmm. that have been injured. Now they have a new bus, and this is under the Children's Health Defense. Polly Tommy is the one that's coming out, and she's going to be interviewing everybody, and you are going to be interviewed.
Very good. Well, Miranda, I pray that was a satisfactory answer.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you for your platform, Dr. Youngblood. And I want to encourage every listener out there to support you financially.
Very good. Thank you for that, and God bless you. I'm looking at a headline, ladies and gentlemen, in our last few minutes. Chelsea Clinton, it's time to force jab every unvaccinated child in America. So, Brian, tell us again about the bus tour, what will take place, when it will be here, and what is the goal that we have, and invite our listeners to go on the website, register. We got about 30 seconds before our time is gone.
Yes, sir. Tuesday, November 14th, 2023, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Children's Health Defense bus will be coming to Jacksonville, interviewing people who would like to share their story, whether they were vaccine injured, whether they were damaged by hospital protocols, whether they were affected financially during COVID. Please visit childrenshealthdefense.org/contact. The CHD bus and get your name on the list so we can interview you and hear your
story.
Give
that one more time before time's out.
childrenshealthdefense.org/contact the CHD bus.
Very good. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM.